Hello everyone, it's Henry Fonda from Podcast Universe, your favorite podcast application, where we're always here to stroke your ego. I wanted to take a few minutes before this commercial break to say a very happy 72nd birthday to my very dear friend, Mrs. Jeff Hoadley. Of course, husband of Chrissy Hoadley. Now, if you would, everyone, sing along. Okay, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I hope you like 90 Day Fiancé. It's my gift to you. Fuck you. Very good, everyone. Now with a little bit more heart. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. If you ever think about a threesome, just give me a call. I do. Very good. Very nice, everyone. With heart. I love it. Thank you. Now, this commercial break.
Coming up on this episode of The Commercial Break.
There's this weird push and pull that went on between us. And I was in this relationship at the time that was rather tumultuous. So I was trying to, like, you know, get it out and work it out. And just, yeah, talk through it. And I felt like he wanted to date her. He was like, well, if you're not going to take her, I'll take her.
I do this for an hour and a half once a week.
You don't have time to fit it in. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I just got back from traveling. And
yeah, but what do you got to do?
Back.
It's the pandemic.
I know.
What
well,
are you doing?
I'll tell you what I've got to
All
do.
Right.
And it's your
hear
fault.
This. It's my
Brian
fault.
Brian Greene, it is totally your fault.
What did I do?
It's the show 90 Days.
Oh, no.
It has sucked me in, and like an addict, I thought that I could quit after that season that you had me watch with Colty. Colty.
Colty. There is a polite way to honk when something's going on, right?
Yeah.
Little love tap.
Yep.
You know, little, you know, hey, buddy, light just
turned
green.
And then there's the super
And then
angry.
There's the, right? Which means, get your fucking ass moving. And then there's like, Meanwhile, you know, I'm like, you know, handcuffed to the wall in my room. With nothing but a transistor radio, you know, do Morse code to my friends. Beep, 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 beep.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
I feel like... Is that a Cardi B thing?
It is.
It is?
I like it.
I like her. Is that like, what is that, a dwerp or a chirp? What do they call it?
What it's called.
Dwerp,
dwerp. I can do it. Chirp, I like chirp? It.
Yeah, you can. Can you smack that ass? Cardi B. I don't know, something sexy about Cardi B for me. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is. Because I'm not usually into that stripper type, right?
Yeah.
Like the typical stripper type. And she just, I don't know, but there's something about Cardi B.
There's something lovable about her.
Something lovable, something huggable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder what's going on there in my mind. I wonder where I'm making that connection. So my therapist would say, where are you making that connection? Probably in my penis. But I'll check and I'll get back. I'll get back to you. I'll check on my private time therapist. It's a she.
Private
my therapist
time.
Is a she.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I refuse to have a man as a therapist. And I mean, you know, something about it, like two dudes. I feel like I have some friends that we've got some good soft energy together, like some brother energy where I can, you know, let out and have a real nice, you know, talk or cry or whatever. I'm not ashamed, Chrissy.
Yeah.
It's 2020. I'm in touch with myself.
That's right.
I've been touching myself.
You're a modern man.
I am a modern man. Look at me. I'm hip. I'm to the nines. I'm into things. I'm into stuff. I'm into emotions.
Stuff and things.
Yeah. I'm into stuff and things. I'm in touch with my anger side and my angry side and my soft and my benevolent side. But I feel like having a male therapist, which I've had only once in my life, and I felt like there was just like a little push and pull between him and I that didn't feel comfortable.
Mm.
Right? He felt angry to me, like he was angry at what I was telling him. Like I would be telling him about whatever, you know, the girl I was dating, and he'd be like, it doesn't sound like you're treating her correctly. And I'd be like, What? Are you taking her side? She's not even here. Like, I mean, you know.
You didn't like what he was throwing down.
No, I felt like he wanted to date her. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It was this weird push and pull that went on between us. And I was in this relationship at the time that was rather tumultuous. So I was trying to, like, you know, get it out and work it out. And just, talk through it. And I felt like he wanted to date her. He was like, well, if you're not going to take her, I'll take her. Right?
You're not going to treat her right, I will.
That's right. He kept telling me that, you know, yeah, I'm in the wrong, but hey, if you got her phone number, do you want to bring her in for a session?
Right.
Sure. Yeah, why not? Sounds good, Mr. Therapist. So then I found that the female therapist, I don't know, they're more grounded for some reason, Chrissy. That's just how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, you've got to find the right fit.
You do. Have you been to therapy?
I have done that?
Yeah.
I have.
It's good. It's good for the soul.
Yeah, it really is. But again, you have to find the right fit.
You do have to find the right fit. It's like a good pair of underwear.
You do.
Or gloves.
You got to try a couple pairs on.
That's right. It's like a good pair of underwear. Or gloves. Or mistress. You got to find the right fit.
Right.
So welcome to the commercial break. For those of you who aren't aware, I'm Brian. This is Chrissy. This is episode We Don't Give a Shit. Because it's the pandemic. I stopped counting because it's just like, I mean, we're well at, what are we at? Number 120 or something like that?
Yeah, I think we're at number 28.
28!
Which does seem
feels like purgatory.
Because we do one a week, right? So
we do?
28 weeks. Whoa.
I feel like we do six a week.
I know.
I feel like... Doesn't it?
I know. I was getting ready for it tonight. And I was like, gosh, I don't know if I have time to like fit it in. And then I'm like... I do this for an hour and a half once a week.
You don't have time to fit it in. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I just got back from traveling and...
Yeah, but what do you got to do?
Back.
It's the pandemic.
I know.
What are you doing?
I'll tell you what I've got to do, and it's your fault.
It's my fault.
Brian Greene, it is totally your fault.
What did I do?
It's the show 90 Day.
Oh, no.
It has sucked me in, and like an addict, I thought that I could quit. After that season that you had me watch with Colty. Colty.
Colty.
And
Colty like my boobies.
Like an addict, I was like, I'm just going to look at the other season that's on there and see what's going on.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was going to put future roadblocks in front of the commercial break by, you know, turning you on to a fucking television show on Lifetime or whatever channel it is.
TLC.
Oh, TLC, sorry.
God, it's so...
The learning channel.
I mean, I can't look away from it.
So. It's hard. And I'm to blame. This you're not the first person who's told me this either. My little brother, Patrick, is also him and his girlfriend there. They hate me. Yeah, they watch it. And there's like, you know, 300,000 different seasons of this show now. The manifestations.
And they're each like an hour and a half long.
No, 2 hours. Well, you're watching them commercial free. But yeah, when there's commercials, it's 2 hours long. And I don't know. I was hooked from the moment. I think because it hits home a little bit because Astrid is from a different country and we got married. Yes. Not like this. We didn't have this 90 day fiance thing. It didn't happen like that. Quite differently, actually. But there's something about that in the first season that was authentic, and I felt like I connected with it. Now it's just like trashy reality.
It's so crazy because you just see what has happened. You know, there's been a gross misleading of people to other people until they're together.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then they can't get apart.
Clothes and diamonds and things. And then the girl gets here and it's, poof, the guy's got dice hanging from his beat up Chevrolet Cavalier from 1988.
It's so true. I mean, the thing is that it happens on both sides of the coin, right?
It does. It does.
There is a season where a gentleman has been dating a girl, a Russian girl. I don't know if you've seen this one. He's probably in, I don't know. He looks like he's in his late 90s, but the guy's probably in his late 50s. And he's wearing not a trench coat, but what do they call those things? A runner or like the big things?
A tracksuit?
No, not a tracksuit, but like a trench coat, but it goes down to the ground. It's like, you know, you're in an old Western movie or something.
A duster.
A duster. He wears a patent leather duster everywhere he goes. It's clear that he's been watching one too many episodes of Star Trek. He's got like three cats at home, no friends, his life, you know, but he's made some money somewhere. And he is following he has been dating this Russian woman for 7 fucking years. through a website where every time that he pressed sends on a text message, he has to pay per word. Per word. And she refuses to give him the information, her telephone information, because she feels more comfortable doing it through the website, right?
Right. It's comfortable making money.
Clearly. Like, it's clearly a scam. And he says he thinks he spent, I think the number was like $700,000 communicating with this girl. He's been to Russia 9 times. She has never once shown up. Never once has she shown up when she said she was going to. And so now when the show picks up with him, he's on his 10th journey over there to go see her. And he's still communicating through this damn app where it's clear she's just sucking him dry.
Yeah. I mean,
but he makes up all kind of excuses as to why this is his girl. And, you know, and then you see the pictures
of
her.
Yeah,
then you see the pictures of her and you're like, oh, my God. Please. I mean, what would this woman ever be doing with this man except taking his money? That's it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are some small realities in this lifetime that we're living, in these bodies that we're living. And that, in one of them is that you are going to be a consolation prize when you're 57 years old with a poorly done hair club for men treatment and a duster that you've been wearing since you were 12. I mean, it's like, it's just fucked up.
Yeah.
I won't tell you how it ends because I don't know if you're on that season. But yeah, I won't tell you how it ends. But don't blame me. Your responsibility to the podcast comes first before the television show 90 Day Fiance. I was trying to fit in
recording the podcast in between.
Jeff and I are having marital problems. I need to go on a date night or you know. I don't know. I've got my yearly gynecology appointment, but no. She says, I don't know if I can fit it in. I got another episode of 90 Day Fiancé to watch.
It's calling me.
Well, listen, I won't keep you too long then. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for the show.
Exactly.
We'll talk to everybody next week. Thanks. Yeah. Chrissy's got to go watch 90 Day Fiancé. Wow. Wow. Yeah. How your priorities have shifted. And here I thought we were ride or dies and... We were just agreeing on our love for Cardi B, and then you dropped a bomb on me that I'm being left for an episode of 90 Day Fiance. I've dated women like you.
It's addicted. You forced me to watch it.
I didn't force you to watch it.
Well,
I told you it'd
said
be a good
you
show
need
to
watch it so we can talk about it, and now I've watched it and watched it and watched it. Now I'm in a new season.
The singularly most entertaining human being that's ever been on that show, Big Ed. I don't know if you have you seen Big Ed?
No, I haven't seen Big
Who's
Ed.
Who's not
yet.
Big, but he definitely is Ed. I don't even want to get into all of it, but I wish I could get that guy on the show because he's just a ball of he's just shits and giggles. I don't even know how to explain him. You'll get there. But anyway, so welcome to the commercial break now that we're 17 minutes in. Welcome to the commercial break. TCBpodcast.com is where you go. You can read all the show notes, find out more about Chrissy and I, listen to any of the episodes. We also have all of our YouTube episodes are now up on the website. And there's links to the YouTube channel and all that stuff. Make sure you go and join the break room. What is the break room? The break room is basically this. Chrissy and I do an after show. After every show, we record an additional bit of content on YouTube, on the YouTube platform, but it's only available for those who join the break room. The break room is free. There's absolutely no charge because we do not have those kind of balls. We're not going to charge
anybody.
We're
not there yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Will we ever be there is the question in Chrissy's mind when she's getting ready for the show. She's like, well, I mean, it's not like anybody's paying me. I might go get another episode of 90 Day Fiance in real quick.
No, I enjoy doing this, Brian.
I really do
see
too.
Your face. No, we get to laugh and talk.
I feel like it's just us having a conversation like we would if we were just hanging out at the bar or something like that.
It totally is. We've had these conversations about so many different things.
I know. But not 90 Day. I didn't realize 90 Day Fiance was going to derail our friendship like this, or I wouldn't. I'm going to stage a 90 day intervention on you. We're going to take that television.
They need to have that as a show.
Is
they
Jeff really into do. It? Does Jeff
no,
watch it?
No, and he's disgusted whenever he sees me watching it.
He really doesn't like it that bad. He's not that guy, huh?
Well,
he just
I was
can't
disgusted
see past.
That you were watching it before I started watching.
That's right. That's you feel like Jeff just needs to watch an episode and he'll feel a little bit better about it.
I don't know.
He doesn't have 2 children or a job or anything, does he over there? What's going on? I feel like anybody with a good anybody who goes into it with the mentality, it is what it is, like just just entertaining reality trash, we'll have fun with it. But if you're expecting, you know, some documentary series on the immigration, ins and outs of the United States, forget about it. The reality, what I can't believe, I'll be real honest with you, is I can't believe is during this administration, they haven't shut down this 90-day visa that goes on after the television show.
I was
clearly
thinking the same thing.
Don't you think so? Like,
I was
after
thinking the same thing.
The television show makes it clear what a clusterfuck this 90-day program can be. I mean, listen, some of these people do work out, but I think
they do.
It's hard to tell if they work out because there's a television show involved. Because a lot of these people go on to seasons 2 and 3 and 4 and 8 and 12. I mean, there's some one lady who's been on there since the very beginning, and she's got her own television show.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the most popular television shows that's out there, period, end of sentence. It's 90 Day Fiancé, which probably says a lot about our state of our country
culture
right now. So maybe I don't feel so bad. Maybe there's lots of people going, I don't know if I have time to go to work today. I've got to watch I got to catch up on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
So go join the break room, and then you can get the after show, and you can hear more of this, intriguing conversation. That's right, at the commercial break on Instagram and Facebook. And if you join the Instagram and the Facebook, we are giving away some swag like this. If you're on YouTube right now, you can see this beautiful Yeti mug that I have. It's got the TCB logo, and then we got some masks and some pop sockets and a bunch of different other stuff. So go join us on the socials.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
So I went and voted.
Good for
you. I got it done with. I got it over with.
I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah. Are you going to go down to the Phillips Arena?
I think so.
Yeah, that's where
I think so. We've got a place that's right down the street from us that's, closer. But Jeff was saying he's seeing all kinds of good stuff on, on social about how great the poll workers are and how they make it fun and whatever. So we're going to go check that place out.
Not only has Phillips Arena made a name for itself in the voting arena here in Georgia. So early voting started in Georgia this Monday, which was Columbus Day. And it was national news that in Georgia, some people were waiting 8 to 10 hours here in Georgia to vote. And they were waiting 8 to 10 hours to vote.
Oh, yeah.
Like they waited. I have a friend who's one of those in a city here north of Atlanta. She waited 8.5 hours. She got there at 6 a.m. and she didn't vote until 4 p.m, 3 p.m, something like that. So she waited 8.5 hours to vote. And she said that everyone in line around her was happy to do it. And they were sharing snacks and they were, batteries were dying and people were,
watching 90 Day Fiancé on their phone.
Watching 90 Day Fiancé. I was watching British comedies on Netflix as I waited. I waited 3 hours. I went on Tuesday. I waited 3 hours at the local library, which is a small voting location. And there was probably a couple hundred people that were waiting in line. It's hard to tell since everyone was kind of distance,
Yep.
Well, most people were distance. And then there were some people who just didn't care about the distance. And I was proud. I'd say most people were wearing masks. Most people. It was a requirement that you wear a mask once you got in the building. But outside, most people were wearing masks, but of course there was a few who weren't, and you know, I noticed the people around those people were taking a few extra steps front right. or backwards. That's right. They were letting plenty of distance between those people. But you know, I've never felt more proud to press the stylus pen, because you don't pull the vote machine anymore, but the stylus pen for my candidate of choice, because I think this is clearly, like they say this every year, that it's a defining election, right? This is the most important election of our lifetime, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that this is clearly probably one of them, or if not the one, right? Yes. So I was proud of this. And, you know, I was glad to see that there was not a lot of shenanigans going on at my polling place. There was a poll watcher, a Republican poll watcher, because that's what it said on his, like, you know,
sign.
It's like GOP, you know, official poll watcher. And he was actually sitting in the room, which I found, I didn't know you could sit in the room, but I guess you can if you just like, I guess you could, there's some process you go through and he's watching the polls. But he was sitting there and keeping an eye on things and we'll go, okay, whatever, you know.
What exactly are they watching for?
I guess people that are trying to vote twice, like, I mean, I tried to. I went in, you know, I went in the exit and then I came right back around, but they told me, it's like, I mean, I don't know what the fuck you're watching for. Yeah, what are you watching for? People peeking in, like peeking over to the next guy. Excuse me. Who are you voting for?
Yeah.
Do you know
I've never had a problem the many years that I've been voting now.
Do you know the answer to number three?
Like,
what am I cheating? I'm right. voting. I know what I'm doing. So I'm not really sure what they're watching for. Irregularities. I don't know. I just don't get it. The poll workers seem perfectly capable, very professional. Everyone was buttoned up.
They always got the workers there.
Yeah, and the, you know, there were people that were walking through the line, making sure you had what you need. You know, do you have your license? If you don't have this, do you have that? You know, we can get you this if you don't have that. I got there and I don't know, maybe it was like noon. I got there at noon and about 15 minutes in, there was probably six or seven people that were already behind me, right? And we weren't going anywhere real quick because once you get in, there's only two people that are checking you in and only seven voting boxes. Mm-hmm. And it takes about 15 minutes from finish to start when you get in the room to the end. Because there's a couple things you got to think through. We also have some questions about this and that's and the other things locally. I get into line. I'm 15 minutes in. And imagine that it's like it's a library with a rectangular shaped parking lot, like a regular parking lot, you know, a couple hundred spaces in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Main street, side street, you turn into the side street, then you turn into the parking lot. Well, there are plenty of people now who have parked on this side street because the parking lot is full. And but people are pulling into the parking lot nonetheless. Like it's Christmas fucking day. And, you know, it's like Black Friday and you're creepily following the person that's coming in, you know, waiting for the person to come out and you're going to follow them to their parking space. I hate that shit, by the way. I fucking hate that shit. It's creepy. I don't do it. Yeah. No one ever. I mean, you shouldn't. I don't know. It's just to me, I hate
it. Just walk.
Just walk. Or, you know, you'll get lucky at some point. Or if you see someone pulling out, that's a different story. But following them through the parking lot. Hey, man, you leaving? No, I'm not. I'm just going to the car to. I'm going to change my shorts. I'll be right back. The fuck, dude? Am I leaving? I don't want to tell you that information. Anyway. So people are doing this. They're coming through the parking lot and they're seeing if they've got a space and then they're going and parking on the side street. So at one point, 15 minutes in, I noticed that there's a little backup going on in where people are turning in. There's one lady up front who is waiting for another couple who have just walked to their car and they're getting in their car. And then there's a lady behind her in her Ford litter box or whatever the fuck she's driving, some piece of shit, you know, trashy car that's full of newspapers and dead kittens. I don't even know what's in there, right? But she's behind her. Well, this lady, I mean, I can tell what's going on here, and no one's been waiting more than 30 seconds for this to go down. But all of a sudden you hear, meh, 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 meh.
Oh, Lord.
Right?
Get the fuck out of your way!
And I'm like, wow, so me and the people that are standing next, we're all kind of looking at each other like, wow, someone's having a bad day, right?
Yeah.
Another 30 seconds goes by.
God damn it, you know you ain't fucking doing shit.
And I'm like, oh my God, the lady's got her window down. Her mask is around her neck, right?
Now, I mean, she's not. The chin guard.
Yeah, the chin guard, right? She's not out of the car yet, so okay, I'll give her a break. But she is just like, she's pissed that this lady has held up her vehicle for any reason whatsoever. Huh. Now the people who were getting in their car have stopped getting in their car because, you know, and everyone in line is now like, do we duck and cover now or should we wait for somebody to pull out a gun or what's going to go on? Like, right. I mean, it's 2020. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
I don't know.
So these people are like standing outside the car, like watching this lady honk. And I'm like, just get in the car. Just get in the car. Just go quick. Like, you know, we don't want this shit to go down. The people get in the car and they're literally trying to pull out and... Now it's the 30-second flat horn. Listen, there is a polite way to honk when something's going on, right? Yeah. A little love tap. You know, little, you know, hey, buddy, light just turned green.
And then there's the super
And then there's the, right? Which means, get your fucking ass moving. And then there's like, for 30 straight seconds, which means that...
That's the worst.
If you could, you would bite somebody's head off, right? You would punch them through the front windshield of their car if you could. And that's the worst. It clearly signals that you're an unhinged fucking moron, that you can't hold your shit together for a minute and a half while someone pulls out of a parking space. But this lady, and she is just screaming,
God damn it, you're holding everybody else up. What the fuck is going on?
And I'm like, oh my God.
Jeez.
People pull out, lady pulls in, and now this lady screeches around the corner and then comes close to us, right? Like, I mean, literally is like 36 miles per hour around. It's a parking lot. Settle down, right? And as she's driving by, she's like, can you believe this bullshit? And I'm like, oh my God.
People are angry.
So
right
now we're all concerned in line where everyone's like, exactly. You know, that's like,
this
the lady.
This is the spot where something's going to happen.
That's the lady who has a Molotov cocktail somewhere in her car.
Yes.
Well, she drives away. There's no spots available and she drives away. So now we're figuring maybe she was just coming by to see what time she should vote.
She's a poll watcher.
She's a poll watcher. But wait, maybe so. 3 minutes later, walking, cresting the hill of the parking lot, right?
Cresting
the hill of the parking lot with pine straw, old cat litter, cat fur in her hair. You know, they're like a shower is a foreign concept. This lady shaped like a Lego box, probably in her mid-60s, right? Yeah. Just the type of lady that you know, if you had her for a neighbor, that you, the police would be called on you multiple times a year, right? It's just for no reason whatsoever. Just the unhinged.
Or TLC is doing a show on her about hoarding.
That's right. The car was full of shit. I'm telling you, you could tell when she drove by. It was just full of shit. But okay, whatever. The way you live your life, whatever.
Yes.
And she walks up, right? And now she's still got the fucking mask around her chin guard. She's.
I hate the chin guard.
She is protecting her chin hair from coronavirus. She walks up, right? And this is the type of person she is. She has to instantaneously get everybody to agree with her that this was the foolishness that was going on in the parking lot. She is dressed in a black sweater with a black shirt, T-shirt under it, with black pants, with black Skecher shoes, like she was going to work at McDonald's. It was unbelievable. And she had a big sign, like a big, like made at Kinko's badge, and it said official poll watcher is what it said, but it was white with black lettering. Like there was no seal, there was no information as to who you're gonna hold, no name, no nothing. It just said official poll watcher, as if she had made it herself. You know, with her, you know, with something she bought on QVC, like, you know, you now can own your own, you know, badge maker for $29.99 plus $29.99 in shipping and handling. Be an official poll watcher.
Right.
Have a, you know, have a disability pet. Don't worry about it. Make anything up. She walks into line.
Can you believe this bullshit? These people, they're here, over there, driving like that idiot.
And everyone's just kind of like their head down, you know?
Right. Sorry, look the old look away.
This is what happens in this country. This is what's happening. No one respects anybody anymore.
And I'm like, no one respects anybody anymore. Bitch, you just spent 15 fucking minutes of your life worrying about someone waiting 1.5 minutes to park. Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
This is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I'm like, oh my God. She's also got the earpiece in, like the earpiece that the truckers use. You know what I'm talking about? The big, the headset with the earpiece with its Bluetooth connectivity, you know, from 1997.
Yes.
Right? She's also got that on.
She's staying in touch.
So I think as soon as she, I swear to God, she had like hay in her hair and shit. So weird. So I think now that the lady realizes that no one's going to communicate with her, no one's engaging in her bullshit, right? Now all of a sudden she's on a phone call.
Yeah. I'm here. I don't know. Why are you waiting 15 minutes and no parking spaces? No one's here to greet you. It's just like you don't even know anything. There's nothing. I'm a bunch of people here all wearing their masks. Fucking sheeple.
And I'm like, oh my God. She's not on a phone call. She's just letting everybody know how she feels. She's on an imagine. You ever made an imaginary phone call to let others around you know how you feel? Guilty. You know, every once in a while, I just make an imaginary phone call because I don't want to communicate with you directly, but I want you to hear what I'm saying, you know, really loudly from the other room. This is usually when I'm dating somebody. Oh, no, I can't go out tonight. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I'm dating this chick right now. But listen, when we break up, you know, so I'm like, oh my God, this lady is so fucking obnoxious. Already it's like obnoxiousness. I notice at about halfway through her fake phone call as she's like walking in circles, right? Oh, and she had a stack of papers, by the way, just like a stack of like random papers, like a file, you know, file folders with shit falling out of it. I don't, like coupons from last week or something. I notice about halfway as she's walking in circles, she has the black shirt and the sweater are tucked into her underwear, and her underwear is white men's Hanes underwear.
Oh.
Only.
That is a sweet look.
12 pack on sale now at Walmart for $12.99. Whoa. I am like, oh my God, this lady is like something. She's right out of a movie.
Yeah, it's out of a movie.
So now there's a poll worker that's going around, right? The poll worker is going around. She's asking if here in Georgia, you can ask for an absentee ballot. If you didn't get that absentee ballot and or you don't want to use it, you want to go to the poll instead, you have to sign an affidavit that basically says, I asked for one, but I'm not going to turn it in. I'll destroy it. Don't count that one. You know, I'm good. Mm-hmm. So the lady has been around just kind of walking up and down the line, just asking and explaining. So some of the people that had come behind me, this was a situation for them. I had asked for an absentee ballot. I didn't get it, or I don't think I got it. And so I'm here, and I just like to, you know, okay, you got to sign an affidavit. And the lady goes, excuse me.
What is this about affidavits?
And she's like, oh, well, if you got an absentee ballot, then...
No, that's not the law. The law is if you got an absentee ballot, you must have an absentee ballot. This is why there's so much fraud. There's so much election fraud. This is not right. And I know my rights.
And I'm like, oh my God, you know your rights? Lady, you know your rights and everybody else's rights. You know election law. It's you're an official election worker.
Right.
So
she had her paperwork.
The lady behind me was like
the law book.
Yeah, the lady behind me turned around and was like, okay, excuse me, ma'am. I'm talking to the poll worker. I don't need your information. Yeah. And she's like,
I'm telling you right now, this is election fraud. This is what's happening. This is election fraud all around the country. This is happening. You voted. Now you can go and vote with your absentee ballot.
Now the people behind me are getting into an argument with the lady with the Hanes underwear, you know, men Hanes underwear size 306 are like tucked into her underwear are now getting into an argument. The official poll worker who actually has a fucking badge and the official poll worker who has no fucking badge, right, are now getting into an argument with a lady who clearly just needs some help about this whole thing. And this gets like, it gets heated, but in a way where the lady's getting heated, but the other lady is like, I'm just going to do my thing, ma'am, and you can believe whatever you want to believe. And when, you know, you do what you do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, right? You do. And so this lady eventually storms off saying she's going to call the Federal Election Commission. She storms off back to her car. Like,
I'm not waiting in line. I already know that this is, you know, there's already fraud going on.
Fraud.
I'm calling the election, the National Election Fraud Committee.
Whatever she, and people are like clapping. They're like, yay, you know, yay, go away. So this is like, people are fucking, they're unhinged. I mean, people are just unhinged.
Yeah. Yes.
I voted. I'm just going to leave it alone. I voted.
I'll update my story from voting.
I hope it's nothing like my story.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, this, but I mean, you know, listen, also this lady could have just been very mentally ill and just thought that, you know, she was in charge of elections, I guess. This ain't fucking Venezuela, lady. I mean, you know.
There was clearly something off.
Clearly something off. How embarrassing to have your underwear tucked into your...
Oh, yeah.
You ever done that? Ever had your clothing tucked into your underwear?
you ever done that?
Hey, Hodley, you ever done that? You got pictures on that iPhone of yours?
Oh, I did have a similar situation happen where there was a dress involved that in a backpack.
What
it was involved and it kind of creeped up and I didn't notice that it was creeping up.
What kind of dress?
To like my waist.
What kind of dress were you wearing?
So a little bit later.
Guess who?
There's that. There's the toilet paper on the shoe. which has happened. There's also a time, a specific time I can think of, and I have a problem with pepper getting into my teeth. And I love pepper.
You have a problem with pepper getting into your teeth?
I do. I've got certain teeth and gums that I don't know just are, that they're conducive to black pepper getting into my teeth.
Interesting.
And so I was out to lunch with a client.
That's an interesting picadillo.
I was out to lunch with a client and I had a nice chicken Caesar salad, put black pepper, you know, on that salad and it was delicious. And I got in the car after I left and looked in the mirror, you know, just like a little mirror check and boom, huge piece of pepper in my tooth. I called the guy and I said, hey, look, we're going to be doing business together and I'm going to need you to let me know about these things. And he said, I saw it there and I really wanted to say something. I go, well, now you know, just say it. Just tell somebody. And we ended up becoming great business partners for a long time.
I would know.
Sometimes embarrassing things are bonding.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Things too. You know?
Early on in a relationship, those little things that you do, like, hey, you got a schnoogie in your boogie or something like that, you know? Or, hey, your dick's hanging out of your pants. You know, stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
It got me thinking about, like, super embarrassing story. I mean, we all have those stories, right? Toilet paper on the underwear, your fly's undone. The older I get, the more I find that my fly is undone for whatever reason. I've got a best friend, Raphael, and since the day that I have known him, he is infamous for his fly being undone all the time. It's likely that 75% of the time you see Raphael, he does not have his pants zipped up. To the point where sometimes I wonder if it's on purpose. It's like, hey, look down here. No, he's just like,
little tick off the list that doesn't happen.
It's just a little picadillo.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking about, like, you know, this lady. Well, I think the least embarrassing thing about this lady's appearance at the voting place was the underwear. You know, she lots of other things to be embarrassed about, but clearly that wasn't on her mind. But it got me thinking about, like, super embarrassing stories. And I've got a number of them, right? But I think one of the more embarrassing stories, you know, when you're a teenager, things are like, they're 10x, right? Oh, everything's 10x right. When you're a teenager.
Magnified.
That's right. Mm-hmm. When I was a teenager, I was dating a girl that I liked very much, but we hadn't been dating long. We'd probably been dating about, I don't know, maybe however long we were dating. It was a short amount of time. Let's put it that way. And I was maybe...
New love.
Young teenage love.
Stop it right now. You're asking for the barn.
So it was.
What about a fly on your head?
Oh, no, never had a fly on my head. I mean, I've had flies on my head, but not on national television for 6.5 minutes. That was crazy. Like, that fly just hung out. Like, flies don't hang out. That's not what they do. They fly from one thing. And we've all had experience with flies. They just buzz around. It's as if someone was above him with, like, one of those fake flies on an invisible, like, a piece of floss. And it was just like...
It was pretty funny.
My gosh.
Especially when you're trying to be serious.
I know. And I got to say, poor Mike Pence. I mean, he's just like, he's never going to live that down. Never, ever going to live that down.
No.
That was so embarrassing. So I'm 16 or 17. Poor bastard. So I'm 16 or 17 years old. And it's right after Thanksgiving. And me and this girl have been out to get Wendy's or something to eat. We're back at my house. At my house when I'm a child, it's a three-story house and there's a basement and the middle level is the kitchen and the living room and the dining room and all of that stuff. So we walk into the garage door, into the kitchen, and my family is there. My father, my mother, and my youngest brother, Patrick, is there. Patrick is pretty young at the time. He's 9 years younger than I am, so he's got to be like 10 or 11, maybe a years old. Maybe even a little bit younger than that. And they are on their way out to go get a Christmas tree. So me and this young lady, we retire down to the basement. In the basement, my brother lived down there and he had a setup in this big room. It was a couch. It was a big bed. It was a television, like a big screen TV at the time, one of those bulky big screen TVs. And that was in one room. Then there were French doors that had no locks on them. So just kind of the French doors that just kind of pop open. Yeah. Right. And then there was a set of French doors to the exterior of the house. Right. And so the French doors to the exterior of the house is where you could go out the side of the house. It's where I, as another young man, as another story was told, that I jumped off the patio to save my neighbors from crime and
That's
corruption.
That's right. You were the neighborhood watch that evening.
So we quickly went downstairs, and then I went to the bathroom. When I came back to the bathroom, this young lady had taken off most of her clothing and was sitting on the couch. Oh. And it was like, you know, now I was amorous in a heartbeat. I was like, yes, right?
Yes.
The couch is next to the bed. And so we jumped on the bed. And when we jumped on the bed, now we're both in mostly undressed and she is on top of me. This wasn't, I don't know, there wasn't maybe 30 minutes that had passed since someone had gone, said parents had gone to get the Christmas tree. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, the two French doors into the room pop open. And there's Patrick with one side of the Christmas tree and my parents with the other side of the Christmas tree. And I like, I sat up, right? Cheer. I sat up and it kind of threw this young lady off me. She kind of fell off. My little brother had some expression like, holy shit. My dad was like, Patrick, language. Brian Green, everyone get dressed upstairs now. And I was like, oh, shit. I am fucking busted. This girl like went and hid behind the couch. I don't know where she went. She was gone.
Oh,
like,
that's her embarrassing story.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this for her. Like, this is mortifying, right? Everybody's scrambling, you know. And so I quickly got dressed and I knew that I had to immediately go face the music, right? This is going to be worse if I just stay down here. So I'm going to go face the music. So I tell this girl, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, just hang out here. I'll smooth it over with my dad. Like, you know, he's cool. He's really not cool, but he'll try and be cool. Like, you know, I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. So I go upstairs. And my dad is like, what in the good fuck is going on down there? I told you, don't, you cannot have women down. You cannot close the door when women are over. This is absolutely inappropriate. Yeah, look at your little brother.
Stays open.
Yeah, look at your little brother. He's traumatized. Then I look at Patrick. Patrick's not traumatized. He's like, sweet, bro.
Good job.
Titties. Right? And so I want you to go downstairs and tell that young lady, because you are no longer having people over tonight. I went downstairs. And she was gone. She was gone. And I didn't talk to her for another 4 months. Holy. Oh. I didn't talk to her for another 4 months. She didn't have like a home. Like, there were not cell phones at the time, you know, not ones that everybody had. But so you had to call someone's house. And she didn't have her own line. She had her parents' line. So I had to call her parents' line. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, her mom would pick up almost every time and be like, nope, she is not here. Right. Like, I know whatever story was told when she walked in the door was not what actually happened, but clearly it was my fault.
Right. Clearly you're bad influence.
Never been. I mean, like, I was. And then here's the thing is that then that story got a little bit bastardized, but then told around the school. Right. And so it was a little, you know, so people would be like, hey man, I heard your dad, called you boinking your girlfriend. Heard you couldn't get it up, you know, like stuff like that. Right. It just all became this, you know, meshed story for like a month. It was like, I just was so mortified, so embarrassed running around my school trying to avoid people, like, you know.
Did you see her at school?
No, she didn't go to my school. So that's why we didn't talk for like 3 months, 4 months. Say, I mean, we later on in life, we connected and we became friends. Right. But that pretty much ended certainly ended the relationship for sure. Right. I think because she was so embarrassed that this had happened, that she knew that she was never going to be able to show her face around my family again, that she was like, I'm just going to give up on it because, you know, everyone lives at their parents' house. What am I going to do? I'm never going to see his dad again. Yeah. Right. And, you know, your rear end shining to the entire universe.
Did you guys trim the tree that night?
Oh, I was trimming a tree, Hoadley.
The freshly bought tree.
I put
tree.
The star right on top.
I'm picturing the tree lighting ceremony after that.
Me and this young girl just naked, just running around the tree, putting garland and dashes of tinsel.
Right. the stuff that you find like 6 months later.
Oh my God. So that was just, you know, like that's the embarrassment there caused by.
That's a good one.
Listen, it was an accident. No one could have known that that was going to happen. I couldn't have predicted that the tree would be gotten that quickly, nor did I predict that they would come in the basement with the fucking Christmas tree.
I pop open the
door. Pop open the door. I mean, you know, you could have gone in the front door, Dad. But my little brother used to run around. I mean, my little brother caused a lot of embarrassment. Patrick especially caused a lot of embarrassment with the girls that I dated when I was a teenager, because they knew that the basement, even it was like kind of subterranean, like, but there were a few windows at the top.
Yes.
And then there were the French doors, and then there were a couple windows. And at nighttime, there were no coverings on these windows. And so at nighttime, I'm sure I couldn't see out. It was all black. You know, you got a light on, it's black. But we would run around the basement, you know, and have whatever girl we were dating down there, you know, for a few minutes. And much later on, like 5 or 6 years later, Patrick told me that, you know, him and his friends would have spend the nights, their favorite activity was going down to the window.
Spy.
It was, you know, 6 feet in the air and spy on what was going on downstairs. Right. And I'm like, motherfucker, really? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was a thing.
I learned about love from you, buddy. Got all my tricks from you. And I'm like, well yeah, you are a solid C minus in the bed, just like me. That's what you get when you have little brothers. They're little, you know, they're little shitheads, yes. For sure.
Of course. God, your family has had four boys.
Four boys.
So, yeah. You know, you've talked about your mom having to go away a couple of times.
Yeah, she had to go
and
to.
I have a more clear picture of why that happened after visiting my sister.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
this past week, I mean, it's a lot. And I can only imagine you. And your brothers. I know your brothers, and I know you. So you guys had to be a handful.
We were all troublemakers to some degree, but then you add on top of that just the kind of the and listen, everyone has a strange way of growing up. Everyone's got family stuff, yes. Right? And so, but
there
were parts,
sure,
where we were just kind of left alone for certain periods of time.
Yeah.
So we were up to trouble because there was no one, there was no one there to guide us, but that we had the opportunity to get into trouble. And that's no fault of anybody's. It's, you know, my parents did the best they could, but just, there was ample space and time to figure out what we shouldn't be doing and do that. Right.
Well, there were two of them and four of you.
That's right. They were. And I was like the wall breaker. I was like an icebreaker on a ship, right? I was just whatever kind of trouble I could get into, I was going first, and I was getting into it. And then the boys were getting in my wake and going behind.
I was the same way. Yeah. I was kind of like the first to try things. Then my sisters would say, "Oh, that didn't work out for Christy. She's grounded for 3 months now."
That's right. Oh,
okay.
Brian had sex for the first time. Woo! Yeah, we can do that now. Oh, the girl said she was pregnant. Oh, he's grounded for 4 months. No, not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Right. They learn.
They learn. They, you know, it's trial and error, but I'm the one doing the trial and error.
Yes.
And I'm the one that bears the brunt. Oh, he smoked pot. What's going to happen? 2 weeks grounding. Not bad. I think I can do that. I can do that. I got that. I'll just get some more pot so I can smoke it while I'm grounded. Meanwhile, you know, I'm like, you know, handcuffed to the wall in my room with nothing but a transistor radio, you know, do Morse code to my friends. Beep, 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 beep. Patrick's got a TV, a DVD player, brand new soccer shoes, you know, and he's like, "Hey, dude, what's up? You want some of this Kush?" And I'm like, "Where did you get Kush? You remember when Dad took it from you?"
Right.
I know the combination to Dad's safe. I got it. Oh, then that's mine. No. Dad told you. No. You're in trouble. You can't smoke that stuff.
You can watch TV.
Yeah, but you can watch me smoke that stuff. Yeah, you can watch TV in my room. I'll turn it up real loud. You can listen to it.
You're handcuffed to the wall.
I swear to God. I'm just like handcuffed to the bed. And Patrick is, you know, but listen, that's the way it is. I think in all families, and you know, my son's going to be the same way. He's going to go and he's going to test us, and we're going to be shocked by the stuff that he does. And then Mia's going to do it, and we're not going to be shocked at all. We're going to be like, oh, that's what fucking
kids
do.
Not that big of a deal.
Not that big of a deal. Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about it. And Matthias is going to be like, what the fuck?
I know. I got in trouble for that.
I got handcuffed to the bed for 6 weeks for that. Yeah, but when you did it, it seemed like a big deal. when she did it, it didn't seem like a big, plus, you know, she's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way it was. That's how it was when you were growing up in a family. Everyone was pushing the boundaries, but the oldest pushes the boundaries in a way that leads the way for everybody else.
Absolutely.
And so, and I certainly took that charge. I was like, let's go. Let's get them done. My poor fucking father, honestly. Yeah. And my mother, my poor mother and father, they just tried.
Yeah, it's such a truth for them, you know, when you're young, for them to say, you just wait till you have kids. And you're like, yeah, whatever. I'm never going to be this mean to my kids.
I'm never going to do that.
And then later on, you're older and you're like, oh, yeah.
I already get it.
What did they have to go through?
What they had to go through. Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah, I think everybody says this, like, I'm not going to be like my parents, right?
Yeah.
Because all we think about selfishly is the stuff that our parents did that we didn't like. But we never thought about how difficult it is being a parent.
Right.
And now that I'm a parent, I'm like, oh, this shit is tough. Oh, yeah. It's like I was telling my dad yesterday. I'm like, I didn't expect you to have to take care of him in between the iPhone selfies. Yes. I thought everyone was posting about their kids that looked cool. Now I got to take care of them.
And, right. You know, it was the pumpkin
teach
patch.
Teach them shit. Yeah. The pumpkin patch. That's coming up, the yearly pumpkin patch photo.
Where I know.
Matthias will be screaming and crying. Yes. And exactly. Someone will be holding me upside down by her foot. Can you get her to smile?
You're hanging off the hayride. The back of the hayride.
I know. It's like, it's so Clark Griswold. This is never, it all.
It's a tradition.
You have this idea of what it's all going to be, and it's just completely different, but precious in its own way. Right? You just have to know that.
Yes.
You just have to know that there's only
a sense of humor and enough patience.
You just have to know that there's only 30 more years of this.
Right. Yeah.
Or as my dad would say, 15 more years. You're out. You took me to Wendy's one time. And said, you're out. But if you need a ride somewhere. Nah. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. I'm going to make it work. If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere.
I'm going to make it on my own.
If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. My dad's like, where? East Cobb? Right. North Atlanta? I'm going to hit the big streets.
To run away. Yeah. And my mom would go, well, I'll help you pack your bags. Let's do it.
She called your shit.
No.
Well, I don't have anywhere to stay tonight, but tomorrow.
Tomorrow I'm doing it.
I don't want to pack right now, but tomorrow. I'd run away with all the intention of coming back home, but my dad would lock me out of the house.
Right.
They'd be like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
Or my twin brother would lock me out of the house, which is even worse.
We got Kevin, one out.
I know. Sweet. Go to www.tcbpodcast.com. That's where you can find all the show notes, read more about Chrissy and I, and you can listen to all the episodes, watch them on YouTube, all that good stuff, at The Commercial Break on Instagram and Facebook, and then we'll be giving away some swag. We'll go straight into the after show after this. You can do that by joining the break room at www.tcbpodcast.com. I know we got lots of new listeners because we can see it. We got lots of new listeners this week, Chrissy. So thanks everyone for tuning back in.
Hello,
if that's what you
everyone.
Choose to do. Either that or it was just it was a one-time shot. And they were like, fuck these guys.
Welcome back.
Keep leaving the positive reviews on on all your favorite podcast platforms. We appreciate it.
If you've got any show suggestions too, let us know. Like, we're open for, you know, creating an open dialogue here.
Yeah, absolutely.
With our fans.
Yeah. info@tcbpodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. We do get feedback from the fans. We'd love to hear more of it. You have any show ideas? You want us to talk about a subject? Do you want to come on? I'm thinking about taking phone calls.
I like the phone call.
I like the phone call idea too. And technically I think I figured out how we can do it without, you know, causing a lot of drama. So, so if you're interested in being on the show, drop us a line, info@tcbpodcast.com. And someone will get back to you about being on the show if you're interested in talking about something, even if it's something that we don't agree about. So instead of leaving a nasty message on one of the podcast platforms, just drop us an email. And we'll talk about it on air. How's that? We'll have a nice, frank, general discussion on air. You know who I'm talking to. We didn't hear at all from Hedry from Podcast Universe today.
Oh, he's on vacation.
He's on vacation. He's looking for his wife.
He's out voting.
All right. So for Chrissy and I, it's Brian Green. This has been The Commercial Break, and we will talk to you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.
To get access to The Commercial Break after show, go to tcbpodcasts.com and join The Break Room. You'll get access to the after show, YouTube extras, live shows, and much more. Follow at The Commercial Break on Instagram and Facebook. The Commercial Break is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley. The Commercial Break returns next Wednesday with an all-new episode. We are available on most podcast providers. Tune us in and ride it out.